Revenue Chat episode 136. The Dream Business Community wants to help you with your career and business. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out. The Dream Business Community at tonyduroso.com/community.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Hello again, and welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. In our last episode, 135, Joe Hausman gives a delightful chat on the ups and downs of her life and some rather bad news that she bounced back from to create an amazing success of herself and the others that she coaches. Truly inspirational for men and women combined. What a great chat. Listen to this and go for it. Note, you can catch every episode of Revenue Chat on my mobile app. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your Android or iPhone. Once it loads, past episodes of Revenue Chat will automatically appear in Column 2. Column 1 is my other weekly high-profile show that focuses on highlighting stars, greats, and game changers called The Spotlight with Tony D'Urso. Just go to tonyduroso.com/mobile from your Android or iPhone. Also, as Revenue Chat continues to grow with a very large audience, new sponsor opportunities are now available. Does your brand fit in with an audience that likes my interviews with elite entrepreneurs and game changers? Would you like to see your brand on a high-profile show that's downloaded over 10,000 times each episode? Would you like to see your brand promoted to my extensive social media network, reaching millions of impressions? If so, let's see how I can promote your brand to the best audience to help you grow. Take a look at tonyduroso.com/sponsor and let's see how I can help. Okay, today we set the stage for Revenue Chat with Millen Livis, Becoming Financially Powerful. Millen is a wealth architect and financial freedom mentor, entrepreneur, and best-selling author. As a possibilities catalyst, she uses her business acumen, investment expertise, extensive NLP, and transformational coaching skills to help entrepreneurial women become financially powerful. She holds an MS degree in physics and an MBA degree from the Wharton Business School. With her science and business education, corporate and entrepreneurial experience, and extensive money management know-how, Millen guides her clients to achieving extraordinary success in their lives by applying the Millen Method, her magic formula for developing a pathway to financial freedom. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Get ready for Millen to tell us about becoming financially powerful. Here we go. Hello, Millen. How are you?
I'm very good, Tony. Very happy to speak with you today again.
That's great. Millen, such a pleasure to have you back on Revenue Chat. You know, our last interview is such a classic. I'm still referring people to that one to this day. That's episode number 58. Such a great one.
Yeah. I love the number two.
There you go. I love eights because to me they mean infinity. And that's a good concept for today's show.
Yeah. And coincidentally, I love eights as well. And my birthday is on eight. And my day of birthday is eight. And my year of birth is eight. And this is my favorite number.
Well, there you go. No wonder you're so good. All right. And now today we're going to talk about becoming financially powerful. And for our newer Revenue Crew audience members, let's take it from the top, shall we? Millen, first things first, I'd like to know, how did it all start for you?
Well, your listeners probably guess what kind of accent I have. So I'm first-generation immigrant from Lithuania. I came to the United States about 28 years ago. I was trained as a physicist in my country, but when I came to the United States, I did not speak English. So no money, no language. The beginning was tough. I came with my then husband and 8 years old child. So we started from ground zero. It was very humble beginning in the country. I was working as a florist assistant. And as you can imagine, that was quite a training for my ego. Since, you know, I graduated from a very good school back in my country and worked as a, you know, was trained and worked as a physicist. But I had to do what I had to do to support my family when they came. Within 1 year, I self-taught myself English. And my first job was working as a consultant, IT consultant for Merrill Lynch. And from there, I moved on and became an executive for major Wall Street companies from Deutsche Bank, Morgan Stanley, Bankers Trust, American Express, etc. So I really felt that I achieved, you know, significant success. But something was missing, and I couldn't figure out what. So at some point, I decided that I want to continue my education and applied and was accepted to the Wharton Business School. As you know, it's one of the best business schools in the country. And when I graduated with my MBA degree from this prestigious school, I didn't feel that I wanted to go back to corporate America and do what I did before. And I started my investment business, investment company. While I was working on Wall Street, I learned how to invest in the stock market. But after I graduated from the business school and started my investment company, I decided that I want to learn about real estate investment. And the beginning was tough. And I made a lot of mistakes. I wasn't really sure what I was doing. So it was challenging. And at the same time, my marriage fell apart. My health was not in a good state because I got, you know, into a very bad car accident. So, you know, like when things start happening in life, it's usually when it rains, it pours. So that's what happened to me. And it was a phase in my life when things looked so grim and so dark that I wasn't even sure if it makes sense to continue. I was living alone. I rented a tiny apartment near New York City and was trying to make this business work. And it was really tough. What is interesting is that I had a lot of knowledge and quite a bit of experience, but things, and I was working really, really hard. But things were still, something was missing there. And I couldn't figure out what was it. But, you know, I would try harder and harder and it will just not work. So when I was kind of pushed to the wall by some divine circumstances, I had to pause. I stopped and I had to really reconnect with myself. So I started meditating. I became a yoga instructor. I really shifted my focus from external to internal. And boy, it made a huge difference in my life. Eventually, I met some life coach who told me that, you know, I will have an amazing life if I really learn how to play the inner game. And at this time, I wasn't even sure what inner game was. But that was the beginning of my awakening, so to speak, my spiritual awakening. So now I was armed with practical skills, stock market investing, real estate investing. But also I was aware of the importance of the mindset, importance of the belief system that I have, like being aware of your beliefs, being aware of your values, of your attitudes in life, of your philosophy in life, and also being aware of the spiritual nature of human beings, so that this new knowing allowed me to learn how to leverage the universe. And out of all this kind of messy journey and some challenging experiences, I was able to create, to develop a four-dimensional method to build wealth. I call it the Millen method. So this four-dimensional method includes four dimensions. One is developing wealth mindset. Second is learning how to be a smart manager. You need to be a good steward of your money. The third dimension is you need to learn how to strategically invest. So you need to learn about different ways of investing, risk management, etc. And the last dimension is using your spiritual, or being aware of your spiritual nature and being able to leverage the universe. So I believe that life circumstances put me in a very good, now I see it as a very good situation, so I could learn some very important aspects of building wealth. And, you know, we often talk about creating wealth. But what is interesting is that different people have different definition of wealth. So I'm curious how your listeners define wealth. And I would like to hear you. How do you define wealth?
Well, first things first, that is quite an amazing life story. You've been through so much adversity. You've done so much. I'm very impressed. Here you are, a trained physicist, you know, being an assistant as a florist. And no wonder you have excelled so well, because you've got that mindset. So very, very cool on sharing your story. Very, very interesting. And yeah, let's just jump into it, because we all want to know, what is it? What's it going to take? What's it all about to become financially powerful? So yeah, so let's dig in first and let's talk about wealth. And we have our dictionary definitions. We have the words of what it is. But I'd really love to hear from you, because you are the expert. You've very, very successful at this. So could you tell us and maybe tweak our definition of wealth? How do you define it, Milan?
Sure. Just before I get to the definition, I think I forgot to mention that with all the challenges that I was having in my business, I was able, once I realigned my mind with the what I call abundance mentality, I was able to become financially independent within 7 years. And I want your listeners to know that if I could do it, considering, you know, all the challenges that I had in my life, definitely each of you who are listening to the show can do it. So I just wanted to put this message out there before we continue. Now, what is wealth according to Milan? I believe that wealth is anything of value that helps us evolve as better human beings and also realize ourselves as spiritual beings. I believe that wealth is like a multifaceted diamond. It means accumulation of money, property, gold, and other things of material value. But it also means good health, character, love in relationships, mindfulness, knowledge, wisdom. So my definition of wealth definitely evolved over the years. And my own journey to wealth and financial independence led me, like I said before, to developing the Milan method that I described earlier. I also want to mention something that I find very important. We often talk about achieving financial freedom, achieving financial independence. And I want to say that for me, journey to financial independence or wealth is not only about the destination, let's say wealth or financial independence, but also about your destiny. Destination is about where you will end up, and destiny is about who you will be when you get there. And looking at my own journey, I think that my own journey to financial independence really shaped me the way I am right now. And, you know, it's very pleasant to know and to say this out loud, that I actually really like myself, because it was not always that way, right? So to say, for me to say, I really like myself is a big deal. And this journey to financial independence, through all the challenges, all the adversities, really molded me into a person who is compassionate, who is giving, who is passionate and knowledgeable and experienced. So that's what I wanted to say about wealth and my definition of wealth.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Milan. It's very, very interesting. And I love how your definition, your viewpoint is beyond just material gains, because you talked about people, you talk about life, you talk about being happy and other things as part of that. It's not, so I like that right away. It's not just the physical or the physicality and the material. You have an expanded definition. And no wonder you're so successful, because I think you have the better picture. The dictionary kind of omits everything for us.
Yes, I agree. And you know what? We all met probably rich people who are miserable or lonely, right? So it's definitely wealth. It's so much more than physical money. It's so much more. So some people are wealthy and they don't have huge bank accounts, but they feel wealthy. It's also about how you feel.
Very interesting. And you know, speaking of that, as we talk about this a little bit in our last interview last year, episode 58, but people's belief, believe it or not, people hear these words here and there. I hear them at seminars. I hear them bantered around. But there are limiting beliefs that really, truly, and literally block their ability to achieve real happiness very fast. You did it in 7 years, which is amazing. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. As you know, jobs can be fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. And owning a business has its own frailties. Bloomberg says 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail in the first 18 months. A Harvard study says 3 out of every 4 venture-backed firms fail. And there's other sources with shocking figures of their own, which all point to one very conclusive point. These are scary times we live in. Let's help you in the dream business community. Yes, you. Let's try to give you the information you need now to boost your career or business. And I'll be there every step of the way, helping you along with other experts in many industries. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out, the Dream Business Community at tonydurso.com/community. That's tonydurso.com/community. Is it true that a majority of new businesses fail? Check this out. In order to have a successful growing business, there are some vital points that you must know. You must have worked them out thoroughly. They must be synchronized with each other, and all employees, consultants, and companies that you depend on must know these items and be in agreement with them if your new business is to meet with a high percentage of success. Get it free. The Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. Learn how to establish your vision, purpose, long-term objective, and master plan, including strategic and tactical planning. Get the Vision Map, Beat the Odds for Business Success at tonydurso.com/vision. V-I-S-I-O-N. And we're back with Millen Livis, who tells us about becoming financially powerful. And I'd love it if you could explain or tell us a little bit more about the buried beliefs that people have that control and run their life. People that are listening to this right now probably go, oh yeah, that doesn't apply to me. But when they listen to this a little bit more, they'll find it does apply to them. So I'd love if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
So yes, our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, our life philosophy shape our choices, and our choices lead to the actions that we take, right? And actions lead to the outcome. So I also want to mention something that, you know, a lot of people teach mindset, money mindset, etc. I also want to bring your listeners' attention to the language that they use, because it is so common when people talk about the financial situation that they use words like I'm broke, or I'm frugal, or I always spend all the money I have, or I'm afraid to spend my money because I never have enough, or I'm afraid that if I start investing, I will lose my money, or I'm afraid to become homeless. You know, people, when we speak with someone else, or when we have this inner monologue, our subconscious mind that actually imprints our beliefs. Our beliefs are imprinted in our subconscious mind. So our subconscious mind is listening. And that's how we create, through subconscious mind, right? So that's why it's so important that we pay attention to the language that we use, whether we speak with someone else or to ourselves. And just by asking people certain questions, if I was asked, what is the main indicator of your financial success, how successful you can be in your life, I would say that the main indicator of your propensity to succeed financially or succeed in general is your relationship with money. Because relationship, like we have relationship with relatives, with friends, with colleagues, right? But it's interesting how we also have relationship with money, because everything is energy. Money is just a solidified form of energy. So some people feel, you asked me about certain beliefs, some people feel that money is the source of all evil. Like, for example, in my family, that was my mom's belief. And I grew up with this belief when she was criticizing government, corruption, and, you know, she had valid reasons to say this. But it was my critical thinking that helped me to see a bigger picture, that money actually can be source of really great things in life. And, you know, all this nonprofit organizations and charities that, you know, people like you and I donate and support, these are all because people have money and can give. Because if you don't have money yourself, you cannot give and support things that you want to support, right? So that's one of the beliefs. Another very common belief would be that I never have enough money. Like when you feel that I never have enough, or I will never have enough, or things around not being enough, it actually starts with, you know, you not being enough, right? So that's another underlying belief. I'm not enough. I never can have enough money or enough of anything in life. So this is a very, very common and very dangerous belief if you're not aware of this. So the challenge is to become aware of what kind of thoughts, patterns you're running in your head, right? Like I mentioned that our subconscious mind is where we imprint our beliefs and actually we manifest our realities through subconscious mind. And that's why being your awareness about your belief system, some of them could be very hidden and very, very kind of tricky to notice. And that's why sometimes it helps to work with someone who will just, based on the phrases that you say, based on the words that you use, notice certain things. And I came to believe that there are 6 questions that I could ask someone to identify this person's blueprint, a money blueprint. Really, it's very interesting. I don't know if you would like me to share them with your listeners, but I believe that it's fascinating how this very, very simple questions, if a person asks them himself or herself, or if someone else will ask this person these questions, could really highlight where he or she stands in terms of propensity to become successful and to become financially successful.
Well, I find that very, very interesting. And you know, when I mention this to people that say things like, oh, I can't afford that, or I don't have enough money for this, I say, you know, you shouldn't say the negative. You should always put it in a positive. When I mention it to people and even instruct them, they're so used to the blocking method that they just don't do it. And I found that one has to consciously be aware of what you say and what you're thinking to change, because otherwise it just goes right over people's heads and there's not an insufficient understanding that they're really doing it. They're oblivious, obviously, and that's why they're doing it, because they don't realize they're pushing themselves further into a hole. So I think that's very, very interesting. And the first thing I think is that awareness, think about what you're saying so that you say it correctly, because you're just otherwise reinforcing that you don't have whatever it could be. And I think that's the first little block there.
Yes, because I just want to point out the energetic vibration of absence of something is very different than energetic vibration of presence of something. So when you stating that you don't have something, that you have a lack of presence, that's what you're vibrating and that's what you're going to get. So I think it's very, very important to remember that when you think that something is lacking in your life, That's what you create more of, because it's a different energetic vibration. And now we can talk openly about energy vibration. And, you know, we know, I also teach this in my courses, that different emotions have different level of frequency. And it is just, like you said, awareness of what you say, what you focus on. Do you focus on the lack and scarcity, or you focus on abundance and gratitude, energy of gratitude that you, what you have right now in your life? And something that I forgot to mention, even at the hardest moments in my life, I remember that I was always grateful for whatever I had, always. So this is just, I didn't know a lot about law of attraction or anything like that, just intuitively. That was my mindset, being grateful.
I like it. And yes, so, so true. It's vibration is so true. We even covered that in last year's interview a little bit, and very cool. It's just amazing. It's so simple, yet it works so well. But now, as you had just mentioned, and you have something new since last year's interview, you have these six key measures of people's money blueprint. I'd love to hear more about these six questions, please.
Yes, and I believe they're very, very interesting. So the first one I suggest that your listeners contemplate is this question. Do you often envy other people's success and wealth? Because it is quite common to envy other people's success, get self-critical and negative about your own life and your own level of success, and then continue going down this road to arrive at I'm not good enough, or I feel like a failure. I call it living in a victimville. So when you start comparing your life and your achievements with others, when you experience negative emotions while observing something that you would like to have in your own life, you cut the flow of creative energy and cause more destruction in your life. You get farther and farther away from what you would like to have or be or do in your life. And when you get inspired by others' success and achievements, or choose to use their success to model or envision what you want to have, be, or do in your life, you uplevel your energy and get motivated to take inspired action, which usually starts a positive forward-moving momentum in your own life. So remember this. You don't get what you want, you get what you think. So the state of your subconscious mind always, always precedes the state of manifesting your experiences. So that was question number one. Question number two, do you respect your money? For example, if you lend your money to a friend or a family member and they forgot about it, would you ask them to pay you back? Or would you feel uncomfortable and won't take chances ruining your relationship with this person? For some people, it's a real struggle to ask for their own money. Why? In many cases, it's a need to be liked and considered to be a nice person. And other people fear to be rejected or ridiculed as materialistic or selfish or unsupportive. So it's one thing to help, and it's my opinion, obviously, it's one thing to help people who are responsible with their own money but needed like a bridge loan due to sudden misfortune in order to stand back on their feet. And it's completely different and reckless, I think, to lend money to people who have not been responsible with their own money. Why would they be more careful with yours if they weren't with their own money? So when you allow other people to disrespect your money, you demonstrate your own disrespect to your money. And when you disrespect something, whether it's something or someone, you lose it at the end, right? Neither people nor money will stick around with the energy of disrespect. So it is also, I just want to point out, it is also ironic that quite often people who owe you money and don't pay back, they often feel guilty as a consequence, become resentful toward you. And this resentment helps them to justify not paying you back.
Good points. So good points. Totally cool. Very cool. So far, Milan, I'm eating this up. More.
Okay. So moving along. Question number three. Do you respect other people's money? So if you owe money to someone, whether it's a friend, family member, credit card company, or insurance company, or landlord, or your coach, your mentor. Because so you owe money because you took more financial responsibility than you could afford at the moment, or because you were not responsible enough to budget your expenses. It's also disrespectful to money, other people's money. If you borrowed money but then put others in a situation where they lose money because you did not act responsibly, you are acting disrespectful to money, other people's money. However, if you don't respect other people's money, you likely don't act responsibly toward your own money either. What goes around comes around, and I like to say that the way you do anything, the way you do everything. So another real life situation, which I think is important enough, if your partner asked for a prenuptial agreement because of disparity in your financial situation prior to marriage, don't feel that he or she doesn't love you. When it comes to money, whether it's business or intimate relationship, clarity and transparency always, always save you pain and stress down the road. Respect yours and other money to play the money game well. And I know it's for some people, this prenuptial agreement sounds a little bit controversial, but that's my opinion.
All right. Interesting, interesting point. I guess I am in a different time, in a different era, so... But if it applies to the audience and if that helps them to separate and realize the value of what they have and be responsible for their money, then that's a very, very good point. All right. What's next, please?
So the question number four is, do you undervalue yourself and your service? If you're a business owner who deals with customers, you probably hear a lot of money objections when you offer your service and tell the investment that it requires. It is very common in my experience, and I see many other service providers in this situation, it is very common to hear from clients that they would love to hire you but cannot afford your price. Economy, low wages, job loss, etc. These are all valid reasons. So the first reaction you may have, cut your rates or offer free sessions, right? Wrong. And I know it from personal experience. If you have done your own homework and you know that your offer, that what you offer to your clients, it has a great value and you offer desired results for the amount of investment that you require to reward your own efforts and your sacrifices and your knowledge and experience, then stick with the investment that you quote to your client. When you readily willing to cut your prices, you undermine the value of your service and doubt the life-changing results that your clients will experience. You give in to fear and show lack of confidence in yourself and your service.
So true. I know a highly successful business person who never discounts prices and never changes a price once uttered and is extraordinarily successful. Very, very on point on that one.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of other statements. I believe that you must feel the value of your service, really feel the value of your service, and feel that you will do disservice to yourself and your clients by undervaluing yourself, by not being compensated adequately. Because you may feel depleted and resistant serving the clients who underpay for your service. And this energy of resistance is money repellent. You need only serve those who are your ideal clients and are willing to pay your worth. Let's just then cut them to four. So what I wanted to say is that you must truly believe and communicate to others assertively that you deserve to be well compensated. Asking to be well paid in your professional relationship need to become as natural for you as expecting to be respected and loved in personal relationship. Receiving money as a token of energy exchange and a symbol of appreciation for the value you offer and a ticket to a harmonious and fulfilling life will lead everyone, you and your clients, to positive money experience. And you will model them how to be and how to act. So if we're running out of time, we can just leave it at that. And maybe next time I will cover the other two questions. No problem.
Milan, I'm curious, are these six questions that people should ask themselves? Is this on your site, milanlivis.com?
They're not on my site. They are in my program. I'm offering a program called Activate Effortless Wealth. And these questions are part of one of the modules. It's a 10-week program that starts on December 1st. And it also includes the live workshop in Florida in February. So maybe some of your listeners will contact me about the details. But yeah, this was served from my program, Activate Effortless Wealth.
I love the title, Activate Effortless Wealth. I love that title.
Thank you.
And if people go to milanlivis.com, will they find out more information about your training class here?
Actually, my website is daretochangelife.com. It's D-A-R-E, there, to changelife.com.
Daretochangelife.com.
Yes.
All right.
And I just want to mention, if we have one more minute, I just want to mention that right now I offer download of my wealth planner that has very good questions that will help your listeners to organize their thoughts around their financial goals, will help them to identify certain beliefs that they may have around money and start writing their goals, their financial goals, their vision for their life, short and long term. So it's a very good wealth planner, and they can download it free from my daretochangelife.com website. And the link is daretochangelife.com/plan. Very simple. Okay. daretochangelife.com/plan.
That's very, very cool. So we go to daretochangelife.com, and we'll see the link for the planner, and we can download that. And actually, will it help us get our mindset in place as well in terms of our mindset in relation to finances?
Yes, it's very simple, and it really helps people to take immediate actions toward the financial goals that they have. Immediate actions. So, and it's very simple.
I love it. Milan, thank you so much. Such a great interview, and please get that planner. Please check out Milan's class and courses. She's the real deal. She's been there, done that. She's been through tremendous adversity, probably worse than many of us right here in the audience. So check it out. Listen to her. Check out her class, and you can get in control of your wealth. There's a lot more to it. So that's very cool. And this was Milan Livis, MillenLivis. And we talked about becoming financially powerful. Thank you so much, Milan. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. It was such a pleasure to be with you and your audience again. Really feel grateful. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Well, thanks again. And all right. And thank you to everyone. And stay tuned for our next show on Revenue Chat. If you like this interview with Milan, would you kindly give me a review on iTunes? A couple sentences is just fine. Thanks in advance. And our next episode is with Mia Motion Zia, excelling in marketing and self-publishing. Mia Motion Zia, aka Mia No Time for Love, is a brilliant, humble, and dedicated author obsessed with writing great books. He's an internationally acclaimed and international award-winning Pakistani author, marketing, and self-publishing specialist. His books are rated 4 to 5 stars on Amazon, other sales channels, and has set new trends worldwide in novel writing. Mian's books have been read and reviewed by Hollywood stars, the British film industry, New York Times best-selling authors, and professionals worldwide. Mia tells us about excelling in marketing and self-publishing on the next episode of Revenue Chat.
All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.